Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for revelation for this time and this season that we live in. Father, we know that you have given us wisdom for these days, and we thank you for revelation for these days. And we thank you as we approach your word reverently and humbly tonight that you will lead us, that you will guide us, and most of all, that you'll be glorified through it all. Yes. And we give you the credit, the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And this is by direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've taken a popular opinion poll from him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also." Appointed means he anointed them and he gave them authority. When he appointed them, he anointed them and gave them authority. He appointed 70 of them. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He was sending them out. "Therefore," he said unto them, "the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." If you want something to pray about to be real scriptural, pray that laborers will be sent forth into this harvest. He said, "Go your ways. Behold, I have sent you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And to whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And at the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire." He said, "Go not from house to house. And in whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. But into whatever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you." He said, if when I send you and you tell them, and if they won't receive you, shake the dust, so to speak, off your feet, wipe it off and say, forget it. I'm going on to somebody else that will receive it. Jesus wanted his disciples to tell the truth. And then he goes on to say, verse 12, "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom," which we know to be Sodom and Gomorrah, "than for that city." The city that rejected the message of Jesus Christ. See, they were going with the message of Jesus. They were not going with their message. So when they rejected those that he had appointed and anointed and sent out with a message, they were actually rejecting Jesus Christ himself. And you know, Jesus here was not very tolerant. We mentioned that word this morning, that big word, tolerant. He wasn't very tolerant right here. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." I've stood in Capernaum. Right today, have you been there? It is a pile of debris. It was a great city in the days of Jesus, but he said, "You rejected me." That's how tolerant Jesus is. It's a pile of dust. Debris. I mean, it's got a few structures. Peter's house was there. At least they say Peter lived in that house. Remember, we went to that house. Peter's house was there, but he said, "Thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." And it did. This was after the death, the burial, and resurrection, and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. Jesus brought judgment on Capernaum, and that great and mighty city that he prophesied about fell, and today it's a pile of rubble. You can go to the Sea of Galilee, and they lied to you about that. It is not a sea. It's a big lake. Remember that?
But notice here, he wasn't tolerant about it. I can't say that. But anyway, verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. Yes, so if I say what Jesus said for me to say, and you despise it, and I'm saying what the word says, then you're not despising me. You're despising Jesus. Isn't that right? And I'm not talking about somebody off the wall saying and doing things that's outside the Bible. I'm talking about in the Bible. In verse 17, this is the verse you wanted to get to. You could not wait to get here. It says, and the 70 that he had sent out in verse number 1, right? That's why I read the whole thing down to here. In verse 1, he sent 70 out. He appointed an order. He said, the 70 returned again with joy. No, they weren't sad. They weren't depressed. They weren't oppressed. They weren't down and out. They didn't get down in the mully grubs. Y'all know what mully grubs is around here? They didn't get it down and out. That he said they returned again with what? Joy. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devils are subject to us through thy name. The devils are subject to us through thy name. The devils are subject to you through the great and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because the devil has been defeated and you don't have to put up with him no more. I don't have to put him up with him no more. And I don't ask him to leave. I tell him to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't ask him to leave me alone or leave somebody alone. I command him to do so, and he must obey me in the name of Jesus Christ, and he must obey you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't make me hop over the pulpit now. I'm acting like Pastor Craig now. But he said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he responded. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said he beheld Satan as what? Lightning. As lightning would fall from heaven. How fast does light travel? It travels at 186,000 miles per second within a few back and forth. So he beheld Satan when Satan messed with heaven and messed with our Father. And they said, Father, Satan's kicking up a mess over here and he's got some of the angels all stirred up too. He said, bring him here. Well, it's not in the Bible, but he's got to come on, go with me, you know. Bring him here. And when he walked up to the throne, God just took his finger and thumped him. And he began to travel at 186,000 miles per hour. How quick? Excuse me. 186,000 miles per second. Said, how quick is that? Too late, done gone. He's gone. 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast lightning travels. And he said, I beheld Satan. He watched him be thrown out of heaven. So why in the world are you afraid of the devil? Our Father God, we're in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness has no right in our lives whatsoever. We have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, and we use that authority because Jesus has delegated it to us in his name. Amen. Said, Brother Randy, prophesy, I am. Yes. I'm speaking, thus saith the Lord, to the church. So when he said, as lightning fall from heaven, he said he fell out of heaven because God thumped him. I mean, it just seemed like it would be like the way to me, bang, and he's gone. Now, in school, if you went to school, college, university, whatever, and then high school or grammar school, whatever it was you call it, you'll be studying about something called the Ice Age, you know. Well, the woolly mammoths, you know that cartoon? What was that, the Ice Age cartoon? Yeah. My son was a little boy, you know, we watched that mammoth, you know, go along, and you'll watch a lot of it. But you get to know all the cartoons, you know, the woolly mammoth and the ice age and all that stuff. And they said at one time, that the earth was froze over. You know, whether all that's true or not, I mean, just we'll find out. But they say it is. Said, how did the world, how in the world did the earth just freeze over? Because Satan was traveling at 186,000 miles a second. When he hit the earth, it created a dust cloud so big because it hit it so hard that it covered the whole earth and the sun couldn't shine. And then they wrote that song. Another one bit the dust. I mean, that's when the song came. You wondered where the guy got it from. That's where he got it from. Right out of the Bible, another one bit the dust. And I'm here to tell you, when you think of Satan, you think of Satan being defeated. Do not fear him whatsoever in the name of Jesus. Do not fear any demon, devil, or any situation whatsoever, because God is on our side and we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's how the ice age came. So go tell the professor what. Maybe they won't throw you out. He said, behold, verse 19, I give unto you power, which means authority. Power and authority go in one. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Basically what he was saying there, he said, don't throw a party just because the devil is subject unto you, but throw the party because your names are written in heaven. Because if you're born again, the devil is a common thing. The devil is going to be subject to you in the name of Jesus. Now I want to talk to you about the revelation that changed the church age for the good. And this revelation came in December of 1952 in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, when Jesus Christ appeared to Reverend Kenneth Irwin Hagin. You remember that? Yes. Reverend Kenneth Irwin Hagin. This revelation that Jesus brought through Brother Hagin to the church was for our benefit. But it seems as if some, maybe more than some, have forgotten about what Jesus told to Dad Hagin to tell us about this revelation. And again, I believe it's the revelation that really revolutionized the authority of the believer, because that's where the book came from, the authority of the believer that Dad Hagin, Kenneth Irwin Hagin, wrote. But he was visiting with a pastor. In fact, he was preaching at a church in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Now, the last time I was in Broken Bow, the population there, I believe, was, I think, about 2,800, I think, or maybe 1,800, right in there. And when you go in the curve, if you're headed south through town, you'll go over a railroad track. Y'all remember where the railroad track is? You go over a railroad track and you turn right, and there's kind of a sharp, not real sharp, but a curve, a real defined curve. And as you're going right, which is going south the way you're turning, then to your left, you'll see an Assembly of God church sitting there, this brick today. It was a metal building and they bricked it up. The facade is brick. And then when you're going by, look carefully, and out back there to the right, you'll see a wood frame building. And then that wood frame building, because that brick building, it wasn't there in 1952. In that wood frame building, Reverend Kenneth Irwin Hagin was holding a revival. That's what they called him back in those days. And he would have meetings that would last, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks at a time. And they would have services morning and night. And God was moving along that line supernaturally in that day. And as you continue on around that curve, you'll pass that building. It's kind of off, back off the road a little bit. You have to look for it. I assume they haven't torn it down. And you go past that building, then you'll see a white-looking wood frame house sitting there to your left. All this is on the left side while you're going south. And it's all right beside each other. You'll see a wood frame house. It was in that little wood frame house that this revelation came to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin.
And I believe it was one of the most important revelations that could ever come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also believe it's a revelation that many in the church world today are not acting upon. And I don't say it to find fault. I'm saying it to bring a solution to the problems that we face. Our nations are in a mess because we haven't taken authority over these things like we should have. We haven't prayed and stood in our authority like we should have. We're waiting for God to do something. We're praying for God to change our nation. We're praying for God to change the Americas. We're praying for God to change this and change that and do something about the devil, when God is waiting for the church to arise and do something about the devil themselves, which will become apparent to you as you listen again to this revelation. You can't hear it too much. After service one night, Reverend Hagin, we called him Dad Hagin, it's a term of endearment, not disrespect, but of great honor and respect. But Dad Hagin was in this pastor's home, that little wood frame house that was there. It used to be what they call the parsonage. That's where the pastor of the church lived. The church provided the home for him, and they were called parsons in that day. Yeah. And so they called it a parsonage. Parsonage. They were sitting there, kitchen table, and they were eating a sandwich or something, some refreshments and things, he'd said. And the pastor's little daughter was there with them, and I think she was about 11, 12 years old, something like that. And they began to discuss Bible truths. The pastor's sitting on one side of the table in the kitchen area, because they didn't have the houses like we got today. Now we got kitchens and living rooms and dens and I don't know what all you call them, you know. But back then, the kitchen was the dining room and the table was in there. Y'all remember those days? Who remembers those days? You might still be in those days. But anyway, all of it was one. So they're in this room and the pastor's sitting across the table from Dad Hagin and they're discussing Bible truths and stuff. And then the pastor's little daughter sitting beside him. And of course, it got on later at night, and his little daughter had to go to school, the pastor's daughter. The pastor himself had gotten lost in the conversation discussing Bible truths. And Brother Hagin said this. He said, this is one of the ways that we learned a lot back then. He said, sometimes what we would do, ministers, they'd take a Bible truth, and one of them would take one side of it, and the other one would take the other side of it, and tried to prove the truth either right or wrong. You know, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And that they would learn a lot just by discussing things. And I'm not saying they were doing that this night. They were just discussing Bible truths. But about 11 o'clock that night, while they're sitting there talking, the pastor's little daughter, you know, about 12 years old or so, said, Daddy, said, don't you want to put me in the bed? She said, I got to go to school in the morning. So he turned startled and he said, oh, my goodness, yes, you do. You've got to go to bed, because you got to get up and go to school in the morning, you know. And normal, the custom was, you know, if their little daughter, only daughter, it was going to take her and put her in the bed, tuck her in. You know, that was what his normal custom was, you know. And but they was discussing the Bible truths. And so normally he would just go pray with her and put her in the bed in her bedroom. But the pastor looked over at Dad Hagin and he said, Brother Hagin, he said, you just want to, let's just pray with her here and then I'll send her on off the bed. And he said, then we'll continue our discussion. And Brother Hagin said, yeah, that sounds good. So the pastor stood up, pulled his chair out. Little daughter got up and pulled her chair out. And then Dad Hagin got up and pulled his chair out. And then they knelt down. Dad Hagin said he remembered kneeling down. As he began to kneel down, he said he knelt down and everything around him seemed to disappear. And he was in something like a white cloud. The furniture and all that wasn't there. He wasn't aware of the pastor, the daughter, the table, the chairs, the kitchen, and all the appliances that were there. And he was kneeling down in this white cloud. He was kneeling down in the glory of God. He was seeing into the realm of the spirits. It's calling discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Spirit that was operating through him. So he was seeing into the spiritual realm. Why did this happen? Because Jesus Christ was trying to bring a revelation to the body of Christ that the church desperately needed. Now, up till this time, we're going to take a little side journey and come back here. Up till this time, upon Dad Hagin's own confession, and what he said is that they barely got by. They didn't know they had authority over the devil. They would rake and scrape and bawl and squall, you know, and they didn't know about taking authority over the devil. Even though these scriptures were in the Bible, it really didn't mean anything to them, because it's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing to have revelation of what the Bible says. So he didn't have the revelation of what the Bible says. And so as he was there, he was talking about how that nobody in that day that he knew of, especially in his circles, they didn't talk about taking authority over the devil or anything like that. They didn't even know they could. So they just barely got along, just hoping the devil didn't kill them all, you know. So, but when he knelt down and then everything had kind of disappeared and faded off in the distance because the glory was all over him and the gift of discerning of spirits, that's what you see into the spiritual realm. And he said that he don't know why, but he looked up in this glory. They called it a white cloud in the book, but we know it to be the glory. It wasn't a cloud like in the sky. Yes. He looked up in this white cloud, and where the kitchen ceiling would have been, he didn't see the kitchen ceiling. But as he looked up, guess who he saw standing there? Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself was standing there at where the ceiling would have been, and he said, fully appeared to Brother Hagin. He seen Jesus just as clear as you and I see one another. Why? The gift of discerning of spirits was operating through him. Jesus is alive. I have seen Jesus myself. I have seen him. Not like Dad Hagin, but I have seen Jesus in the spirit. I saw him just as clear as I see anybody sitting here. He is alive. He is not an imaginary figure. He's not. And Brother Hagin saw him just as clear as we see one another. Again, he's seeing in the realm of the spirit with the gift of discerning of spirits operating in him and through him. And so as he looked at Jesus, you could imagine what he sensed and what he felt, and the shock that he had when he saw Jesus. Do you think that you might be shocked and astonished and astounded if Jesus allowed you to see into the spiritual realm and see him? Yes. Well, he was astounded and shocked too, because I was too. Because I wasn't expecting it. When this happened to me, I've never expected it. It just happened. And that's the way it happened with Brother Hagin. He wasn't praying to see Jesus. He wasn't praying to get a special revelation. He didn't even know he needed the revelation. But Jesus knew he needed the revelation. And Jesus knows what you need too. Jesus looked at Dad Hagin. And he said, I've come, and I'm just going to paraphrase. He said, I've come to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits and how they operate, and how they will even get a hold of Christians if Christians allow them to. Jesus told him, again, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm quoting almost verbatim, not quite, but almost. He said, I've come to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits and how they operate, and how they will even get a hold of Christians if Christians allow them to. Who am I speaking to tonight? What are you? You a Christian. So we're not talking to the world. The devil's got the world. So the devil is after us. But remember, we don't have to be afraid of him. So he tries to get a hold of Christians. He tries to hinder Christians. You know, Paul the apostle, the great apostle Paul, told some of the guys that he was going to visit. He said, I would have come to you, but Satan has hindered me. And this was the apostle Paul. So Satan does things to what? Hinder, to disrupt, to cause problems, to create havoc and come against us. And that's why we need to know these things and remind ourselves of these things. Even though we know them, we got to put them into practice. And to me, this is one of the greatest revelations that the church has ever received and begin to put into practice. But again, many today seems like they have laid these to the side. And we're not saying it to attack. We're saying it to bring a solution to the problems. The devil has no authority over those who know their authority and exercise their authority. And I'm not saying that there won't be a fight. I'm not saying there won't be opposition, because certainly there will. Because I've experienced it myself. But Jesus told him, I've come to teach you. Now, I'm not going into everything that Jesus said, because he taught him the different categories of devils and demons. And he went through Ephesians chapter 6. And he showed him about the evil spirits in his kingdom and the highest and the lowest authorities, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. So he talked to him about that, the different levels and ranks and all that in his books. But that's not my message tonight. The message that I want to get across to you is what Jesus told him. As Brother Hagin and Jesus were in conversation together, and Jesus was talking to him, and he was showing him actually visions as he was talking to him, and he was seeing people that was having problems with the devil, and he was seeing people that were actually possessed with the devil. Jesus was showing him things. But anyway, while Jesus is talking to him in the process of this conversation, suddenly a little bitty demon, say little demon. Little demons will cause big problems if not dealt with. Yeah. Little demons can cause big problems if not dealt with. Little demons. It was a little demon. It was no big demon. I saw a big demon one time in our Supreme Court of the United States of America. I saw him. Now, it wasn't a baboon, but it was a gorilla-looking, baboon-looking thing. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. And it was setting up in the Supreme Court in a seat just like the nine justices. We got nine justices in our highest court of our land. I assume y'all have something like that here, right? There's some kind of court that makes rulings and laws. Supreme Court, yeah. We have nine justices. And I was caught up in the spirit and I was in the Supreme Court. Of course, there was nobody there but me and that demon, but I saw that thing. And the power of God, the anointing of God came on me. And the Lord told me to tell that thing to get out of there. And then he gave me a word and said there will be a man and a woman removed from this court by this time tomorrow. And it happened just like God said to do. It happened just like God showed me. And it did. Ladies and gentlemen, we can change the Supreme Court of the land. We can change the presidential office in America. You can change the prime minister office in this land. And I'm not talking about hurting anybody. You understand? I'm not talking about that. Said, Brother Randy, could we dare believe that? We can dare believe that. Yes. Now, I have seen some things recently that I can't talk about. But you're about to see some things happen in the political arena that's going to shock even the sinner. Because these people that are spitting in the face of God, God's getting fed up with it. I said, God's getting fed up with it. And God's going to put an end to it. Yes, your loving Jesus is going to put an end to it. Right now, he's weaving a whip. And he's going to start cleaning some things up. Because he's going to make a way for his church to come out. He's going to make a way for his people to come out. You remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus? He was out to persecute and torment the church and torment Christians. Isn't that right? And suddenly there's a great shining light, which is the glory of God, Jesus himself. And the light was so bright and the power of God showed up. And Paul and all those that were with him fell down to the earth. His name was Saul, then fell down to the earth. And he said, Saul, Saul, why kickest against the pricks? Lord, why are you messing with me and my children? What's wrong with you? I'm here to tell you that same Jesus that showed up on the road to Damascus, he's standing on the portals of heaven, and there's going to be some changes in the political arena in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is fed up with it. I have to hold my tongue sometimes. But anyway, I've seen some things in the spirit that I can't talk about. I've seen it. And God's fed up with it. But Saul fell down to the ground. And that great glory of God came upon him and blinded him where he couldn't see. And he changed, Granny said he changed his tune then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He said, Lord, who art thou? He was high and mighty. But when he fell down and started licking the ground, he changed his mind then. He said, Lord, who art thou? Well, when Jesus' power came on him and the blinding light came on him and he fell down, then remember the choir, Brother Taylor and all them, come running out of the bushes and they sang that song. Another one bit the dust. Do you remember that? Another one bit the dust. And I'm here to tell you, God will put up with things. He is loving. He is compassionate. But there comes a day that's the day, and God is not going to put up with it anymore. God had allowed Saul to persecute and torment Christians. I mean, tortured them. Saul tortured them, tortured their children, and killed them, fed them to lions, done all kinds of stuff. Saul himself testified against them. It's in the Bible. But God got fed up with it. And he showed up on the scene. And that's the God that we serve today. You don't have to be afraid of any of these things or any of these people. Woo! You don't have to be afraid of them. Paul and Silas was in jail at the midnight hour. They had been beaten because they had disobeyed the laws of the land. I said they had been beaten because they had disobeyed the laws of the land. Pastor Craig, I'm not trying to give you no ideas here. And they got in there instead of grumbling and griping, they started singing, praising and glorifying God inside the jailhouse. Isn't that right? They started singing inside of there. My dad-in-law used to say it this way. When Paul and Silas got to singing, God liked the music so much and the song so much, he got to patting his foot up in heaven and he made the jailhouse rock. And I know, y'all thought it was Elvis, but it was not Elvis. Elvis stole God's song. I'm here to tell you, God's the one that made the jailhouse rock. When God gets fed up, he's fed up. And he's not going to put up with it no more. You're going to see some things in the coming future. And the world's going to see some things in the coming future that heaven's going to be involved in, and the church is going to be so dumb and ignorant, they're not going to even know it's God. Woo! They're not going to know it's God. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to vindicate his people. He's going to vindicate his church. So don't you be ashamed of the gospel. Don't you be afraid to stand for what you believe. Jesus will show up in your behalf. He'll watch over you and he'll take care of you. You don't have to be afraid of no devil. So Jesus was there. And he told him, he's going to tell him and teach him about devils, demons, and evil spirits and how they'll even get a hold to Christians, if Christians would allow them to. And so Jesus began to talk to him. And through this conversation, this little demon, remember I said little demon? Yes. Little demons, remember, cause big problems if not dealt with. Yeah. Just little demons. It's not because they have a lot of authority. It's just because the person that has authority don't use it. Yeah. Against them. If you let the devil dominate you, he will. So this little demon ran between Jesus and Dad Hagin. And it put out something like a fog or smoke screen so he couldn't see Jesus anymore. And then this thing started waving its arms and saying these words, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak, yak, yak. I've heard Brother Hagin say it so much, I can almost say it just like he did. But that's what the demon was doing. Waving his arm, distraction, so that Dad Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And he thought to himself, Dad Hagin thought to himself, don't Jesus know that I need to hear what he's saying? I've never heard anything like this, he's thinking to himself. Why don't Jesus do something about this devil? Nothing happened. So Jesus is still talking. He could hear the rumble of his voice. Maybe barely make out something of seeing him through that smoke screen every now and then, but he couldn't hear fully what he was saying. He thought to himself, why doesn't Jesus do something about this devil? Don't he know that I need to get this revelation? I have never heard anything like this in my life. Nothing happened. Jesus is still there. The devil is still there, disrupting and causing problems and causing Dad Hagin not to be able to hear the revelation that Jesus was trying to get to him. So he thought to himself again, Dad Hagin, why doesn't Jesus do something about this devil? Don't he know that I need to get this revelation? Finally, Dad Hagin said, out of frustration and desperation than anything else, not because he had a revelation along these lines, but frustration and desperation, he said to that demon, he said, I command you to shut up and stop in the name of Jesus. He said the moment he spoke those words, immediately the devil shut up, stopped waving its arms, the smoke screen disappeared, he seen Jesus, and the devil fell down there on the floor in the spirit. You know what I mean? The spiritual floor. Then he said, not only have you got to stop, you've got to get out of here in the name of Jesus. And that demon got up and ran off. Then the revelation of all revelations to the church came. Jesus looked at Dad Hagin and said, if you had not done something about that, talking about that devil, that demon, he said, I could not have done something about it. Can I say this? Can I take a side journey? Y'all remember where I'm at? Let me share with you something. It's easier to keep the devil out of something and off something than it is to let the devil take hold of something and then make him leave later. Once he occupies something, once he takes a position, once he takes a place, it's harder to get him away from there. Because he'll get a hold to it and he'll hang on. It's easier to keep the devil out of a place than it is to run him off once he's taken a position in the spirit. Jesus talked about Satan's seat in the book of Revelations and to the churches. Satan had a seat. He would rule. And I'm telling you, Satan has seats today. He moves around in different places. It's easier to keep devils and demons out of a place than it is to run them off once they got there. It don't mean you can't run them off, but there's more involved in it. Because once a devil occupies a position because somebody allowed him to, and he takes that place, he's not going to leave easily or willingly. You know what I mean? You may have to work at it. That don't mean that he's not going to leave, because he's going to leave. There's more to it than saying go one time sometimes. But it's easier to keep him out of a place just by standing against him than it is to let him occupy a place and then take hold there and claim as possession where he's at and rule and reign from that. So where was we at now, you remember? Demons. Jesus said, if you had not done something about that demon, I could not have done something about it. Now you think just like I do, and we think just like Brother Hagin did. Brother Hagin thought, That's got to be false doctrine, even though he didn't say it that way. Now, I'm just telling you where you can grasp it better. You and I would think that's got to be false doctrine. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one that was born into this earth by a virgin, the one that shed his blood on the cross, the one that was buried, the one that rose from the dead, the one that's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. It's got to be false doctrine that Jesus himself cannot do something about this little bitty devil. You know, that was what Brother Hagin was thinking. That's what I think. You mean Jesus can't do something about it? So Dad Hagin responded when Jesus said to him the first time. He said to Jesus, Jesus, I know I didn't hear you correctly. He wasn't being disrespectful. He just couldn't believe what he was hearing. Like you and I couldn't believe it. It's almost too hard to believe today. But it's the truth. Jesus, I know I didn't hear you correctly. He said, you meant to say, he thought Jesus had misspoke. You meant to say that you didn't want to do something about that devil, not that you could not do something about him. Jesus looked at him again, assuredly and matter-of-factly said to him, no, that's not what I said. I told you, if you had not done something about that devil, I could not have done something about him. And of course, Dad Hagin responded again. He said, dear Lord Jesus, he said, I know I did not hear you correctly. You meant to say, he thought he misspoke again. You meant to say that you didn't want to do something about the devil, not that you could not do something about him. Jesus looked at him again and more forcefully this time said, no, that's not what I said. I told you that if you had not done something about that devil, I could not have done anything about it. So Dad Hagin says it this way. He said he reached and grabbed his ear and shook it because he thought it might be stopped up and it wasn't hearing correctly. I mean, we would have thought the same thing. And he said to Jesus again, he said, dear Lord Jesus, he said, I know I didn't hear you correctly. He said, you meant to say that you didn't want to do something about that devil, not that you could not do something about that devil. This time, Jesus spoke very forcefully and said, no. He said, I told you, if you had not done something about that devil, I could not have done anything about him. So Brother Hagin said he spoke up. He said, dear Lord Jesus, even though I see you as plain as I've ever seen any human being through the gift of discerning of spirits, it was operating through him. He said, I can't receive this revelation unless you can give me at least two or three witnesses in the New Testament that proves to me what you're saying. He said, Jesus did not get on to him for asking for scripture in the Bible. He said, Jesus looked at him and smiled sweetly. And he said to him, he said, I'll go you one better. He said, I'll give you four witnesses. And of course, we know now from our own study that there's many more witnesses he could have given him. Four witnesses, four scriptures in the New Testament that proved to him what he was saying. And Jesus told him, nowhere in the New Testament is a believer ever told to pray for me to do something about the devil. They're always told to do something about the devil himself. So Brother Hagin said he opened up his mouth and got himself in trouble again. He said, dear Lord Jesus, he said, I've read the New Testament through over 150 times and portions of it more than that. And he said, if there's anything in there like you're saying, he said, I sure don't know it. He said, Jesus looked at him and said to him, he said, son, there's a lot of things in the New Testament that you don't know. Now, Brother Hagin, by his own admission at that time, could quote approximately 3/4 of the New Testament. There's a difference between having information of what the Bible says and revelation of what the Bible says. Brother Hagin had information by reading the Bible, but didn't have revelation. That's why we need to be studious and study, like we were talking about this morning. Remember, you had that assignment, and I know that you're studious with it to do that. And so Jesus went on and began to talk to him. Turn to the last chapter of the book of Matthew. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. See, you'll never have to be afraid of the devil anymore. If you find Mark and back up, you'll be right on top of him. Matthew 28. And then we're going to solve the issue and give the answer to the question of why Jesus could not do anything about the devil. We want to solve that problem right now, or answer that question, because I know that you want to know the answer, and I do too. So we're going to let the Bible answer it for us. Why Jesus could not do something about the devil there with Dad Hagin, but even more so, why Jesus can't do anything about the devil that's harassing you today. Not only are we going to answer the question why he couldn't do anything to help Brother Hagin in the vision, also we're going to answer the question of why Jesus can't do anything about the devil that's harassing you today. If the devil's going to be dealt with today, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. The Lord's not going to do it for us. And here we're going to have a glimpse of this revelation. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18. And Jesus came, this is right before he ascended up into heaven, up the Mount of Olives. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, which means all authority, is given unto me in where? In heaven and where? That's two distinct, separate places, heaven and earth. We know that heaven is where the throne of God is and the heavens up there, but we know earth is where we're at and where we live right now on this planet earth. He said, all power, which means authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus told Brother Hagin this after we read this verse, I'll tell you. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This verse here is why my grandmama would never get in one of my airplanes. Because it says, and lo, I am with you always. Myrta Cleo Robinson was her name. 4'11". But she could beat the devil out of you with a frying pan. She said, Randy, the Bible says, lo, I am with you always. I'm staying close to the ground. You got to throw a little bit in there to get you going. You don't pass out in the sermon. This is what Jesus said about Matthew 19 to Dad Hagin. It's in relation to verse 18. All authority is given unto Jesus, where? In heaven and in earth. Where did that authority come from? Our Father. Verse 19, Jesus said, go ye therefore. Jesus told Dad Hagin in this vision in 1952, December of 1952, in that kitchen down there in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. It's in the southeast corner of the state of Oklahoma. It's right by the Comanche Mountains, and that's where Bigfoot lives. I know he's around here, but he's got frequent flyer miles. He may be riding with Pastor Craig one day. I don't know, but that's where he's at. You know, they get Bigfoot sightings. In Oklahoma, they have more Bigfoot sightings down that part of the country than anywhere else, you know. I figured some of them Christians would be trying to get him saved. You know, I don't know. But he said, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Jesus told Dad Hagin, now don't let this get by you. He told Dad Hagin, when I said to my disciples, go ye therefore, in this verse here, He said, I delegated my authority on earth to my people, to the church. And I no longer have the authority in the earth to operate without my church. You and I have been delegated the authority. And we have authority over the devil in this realm. Go ye therefore, he said. That's when he delegated his authority to the Christians, to those that believe in him, to the church. And that's why that he could not do anything about the devil in Brother Hagin's behalf, even though Brother Hagin wanted him to. And that's why he doesn't do anything about the devil in our behalf. And that's why the devil creates havoc in our nations. These things that are going on the scale that they are going on in our nation, in the Americas, and in the nations of the world, it should not be so. But most of the church world, and again, we don't say it to find fault. It's to bring solution to a problem. If we want these things to stop or at least to subside some, we must take our spiritual authority over the devils that are behind it. Let's turn over to Ephesians, somewhere or another. You know where it's at, don't you? Where's that at? In verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4. This is where it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus gave this verse to him. It says what? Neither, say it out loud, neither give place to the devil. And what Dan Hagin always pointed out about it, it would be wrong for Jesus to tell us not to give place to the devil if we didn't have authority over the devil. Isn't that right? We've got authority over him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another scripture along this line, and we'll turn to it in James chapter 4. You like this one?
Yeah.
James chapter 4. And it says this, verse number 7. What does it say? Submit, let's say it, let's read it together. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Run from you as in terror. Isn't that right? And then look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, which means be aware and be alert. Because your adversary or opponent or enemy, that's what that word adversary means, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why does he walk about seeking someone he can devour? Because he cannot devour somebody that has authority over him and knows it. So verse number 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, which means you have authority over him, nor did the same afflictions, which means the same opposition from Satan, are accomplished in your brethren than in the world. But notice here, we've got authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. You've got authority and I've got authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Brother Hagin came away from that place of that revelation, and then out of that came the book, The Authority of the Believer. What I would encourage you to do is knock the dust off the book, The Authority of the Believer. Knock the dust off of it and go back and read it and recognize that you as a believer have authority over the devil. That you can do something about his attacks against you, against your family, against your nation, against the political arena. We have authority over him in the name of Jesus, and he cannot stop the purpose and plan of God. And I've already shared with you this, that there are going to be some people biting the dust. I'll put it like that. I have seen it, and I've seen visions of it. I just cannot say it. But I've seen visions of it, and I've seen it coming because the Lord is fed up with this. Just like he got fed up with Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul had been going on for a while along those lines, persecuting Christians, but the day came that Jesus was not going to put up with it anymore. Listen, Jesus don't want you and I to put up with any devil or demon anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to take the authority because you do have the authority and you rule and reign over him in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for your anointing. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see again this revelation. Lord, you're reminding us of this. Lord, you're the one that wants us to remember what you said about this. And Lord, we do remember it. Lord, we do take it to heart. Lord, I do see this as a truth. Lord, and I do see how that sometimes that I even don't practice it as I should. Because somehow we have a tendency to let things slip. But Father, you've reminded us of this tonight. Now, Lord, we're taking our position in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.